near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Hi and welcome to the Near Post. We are talking football, we are talking Socceroos, we are talking Matildas, A-League, W-League, and pretty much covering any other Australian-type Aussie oi 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 football across the Australian Community Radio Network. I'm Paddy Bordier, and in this studio with me are the two Nicks, Nick Senior, Nick Cumpston.
Hey Paddy, how are you?
I am very well, and Nick Junior, Nick Ames.
Hey Pat.
Now, let's start the show this week talking about our, well, I just want to divert from after the announcement of Everything Football, I want to divert away. Nick Junior, what's your favourite moment of this weekend?
This weekend just gone? I would have to say getting up at 12 o'clock on Sunday. That was a pretty good feeling.
Curse now, you and your uni student ways.
Yeah, for those playing at home, Nick Junior is a uni student and pretty much as far as Nick Senior and I can tell, just sits at home playing FIFA 12 and essentially sleeping in when he's not playing FIFA 12.
Essentially, yes.
And Cocoa Pops. Is that all you eat? I'm pretty sure that's
all.
Oh, no,
you. Weet-Bix. Weet-Bix and toast is my...
Weet-Bix? Crazy.
Yeah,
he's health-conscious.
Yeah. And Nick Senior, your favourite moment of the weekend? You've been doing a bit of travel?
Oh, look, it was a funny old weekend. I was in Jakarta for most of the last week with work and coming back overnight wasn't all that much fun, but, you know, coming home to the family, pretty good fun. What about you, Paddy?
Well, I had a pretty energetic weekend. I got a few things on my plate. I had a boxing fight, my first amateur fight. Ask me how I went.
Well, I don't have to ask you because I was there.
All right, Nick Jr., ask me how I went.
Well, how did you go, Paddy?
Well, I've come out with a black eye and one big loss to my record, so it's not going too well. But I tell you what I have been doing. I've been eating like a horse. I've been eating anything I would possibly get my hands on because it was tough cutting weight. So I've been enjoying the world of food.
Yeah, and Paddy's doing the show with... You know, let's say his nose is slightly to the left of where it used to be.
Yeah, it was the man hit like a sledgehammer. I'll just leave it there. All right, now coming up in the next half hour, we've got all the news. We've got Socceroos, A-League, and if we can squeeze it in, some fantasy football.
Now, I hope we do.
Yeah, well, if you've got an inquiry or you simply like to test our football knowledge, you can do so on our email, flanagan.amon@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can catch the podcast on www.nearpost.blogspot.com and on iTunes as well as halftimeheroes.com.au. Mm. Our show dedication for this week is the W League. The W League was launched in Sydney today.
Yep.
There was quite a number of media there, so looking forward to the W League.
Yes,
you'll hear all about it on this this radio show. We're planning to cover it as much as possible.
And definitely going to hit up some of the Canberra United home games.
Hmm. Be good. Hopefully they can build on the positive start to the A-League season.
Yes.
And having thrown all this positivism towards the W League, a bit of a factoid for you, which is not so positive. Horse race in this nation, racing gets more TV coverage than all women's sport combined. A little bit sad.
Yeah, wow. That's not good.
Mm. Nonetheless, we're here committed to throwing as much W League your way as possible. Okay, quiz before we head into the news and comment. The quiz is, what was Bosnich thinking? Did anybody see the Fox Sports on Saturday night? I saw it. Bosnich has a wig. Like, it's so horrendously there. And I don't know what to say. Like, it's
look,
pretty awful.
And it's really tough to comment.
Because
you've got to congratulate Bozer on coming back from a really dark time in his life.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Just shave your head, man.
Maybe he should have just taken a leaf out of Wayne Rooney's book, gotten some hair plugs.
Yeah. It's so obviously not hair plugs.
And that's the first time Wayne Rooney has been used as a behavioural role model for anybody.
All right, and moving to part one, news and comments. Here's the news for us. Perth Glory striker Shane Smeltz says the team cannot afford to get carried away with a perfect start to the season. Schmeltz was in top form on Sunday afternoon, nailing two goals as his side outgunned Melbourne Heart. The result saw Glory climb into second on the A-League table just behind Brisbane Roar.
You've got to be happy with it. That Paddy is a...
Oh, he'd be stoked.
I'm pretty damn and happy. Look, just and I've forgotten all the nasty, snide comments I've been throwing.
What about previous history?
If this short-termism approach succeeds, then I'll take it.
And surely with Perth doing well, your Fantasy A-League team would be doing well
surely,
as well.
Surely you think that would be the case. So moving on, next one. Nick Carlin says Sydney FC star-studded combinations will improve with every game as the Sky Blues look to fuse marquee signing Emerton into a new look squad. Sydney coach decision to play Emerton on a wide left role for much of Saturday's loss has come under question, with calls to the Socceroos star to be used more centrally. I'm not sure I entirely agree with that. I think he's
probably not accustomed to a central role.
Yeah, that's right.
And they don't really have any other wide players.
And that's part of Emerton's strength, is he can be a bit of a Mr. Fix-It guy.
Yeah. I think we're going to see some more struggles with Sydney. Levitka, the Sydney coach, is still juggling with his best setup with Emerton's arrival and the return of Carol Kissel and a squad brimming with attacking talent in Carl, Terry Antonis, Terry McFlynn, Mark Bridge and Bruno Casarini.
Sorry, Terry McFlynn, attacking talent?
Yeah.
Yes.
How many pure strikers on that list?
They're struggling for strikers. And there's a bit of a rumour.
Struggling for quality strikers.
Okay, thank you very much. Nick Jr. struggling for quality strikers.
There are a lot of attacking midfielders.
Have you heard the same rumour I've heard?
Joel Griffiths?
Yeah, the Joel Griffiths rumour. I'm not giving it much. I don't think they can afford
it. I think he's a bit of an icon in Beijing Guan at the moment, so I don't think they're going to let him go for cheap.
Yeah, and he's earning a fair bit of money. How are they going to match that? Talking about people earning money, injured Melbourne Heart skipper Fred will miss the derby against his former side, Melbourne Victory.
Disappointment.
Very disappointing.
The young Matildas, again disappointing, lost 4-2 to Korea Republic at the Under-19 Women's Championship in Vietnam. The loss means the side finishes in fifth place. Both sides were playing for pride in the encounter, with neither in the running to qualify for the Under-20 Women's World Cup.
Bit of a disappointment. Apparently they were playing a lot of players out of position, which didn't help.
Tactically it's not normally the best move.
In terms of development, it's not the best thing, but hopefully they can put it back together for the next round of qualifying. We'll see.
Now, the FFA has announced the appointment of Sarah Walsh and Sally Shippard as Game Development Education Officers. Sarah and Sally are two of Australia's most experienced players and current stars of Matildas. They're now going to combine their football careers with newly created part-time roles. I can see nothing but good coming out of this.
No, it's all good.
It's bringing some...
You said nothing good coming out of this. I was like, oh, wait.
Yep, I can see nothing good. No, it's bringing quality players and experienced players and into development.
Keeping them in the game as well. Yep. It's good.
A-League crowds continue to trend upwards with a record total of 135,000 passing through the gates in the first two rounds of the season, boosted by a ground record of 15,789 to watch Harry Kewell's Melbourne Victory go down 1-0 to Adelaide at Hindmarsh Stadium. Fist 5,588 fans watched 5 A-League Round 2 matches, and A-League officials expect numbers to climb with crowds close to 40,000 expected for the Melbourne Derby.
So they averaged 10,000 for the non-Kewell games, and I think that's okay.
Yeah, I will tip my hat to the A-League draw committee, because some of these rounds, but all rounds so far have been excellent. This week's one, another excellent set of games. Hopefully the momentum keeps going with the crowds.
So looking forward to the Derby.
Well, all three derbies this weekend I'm keen for.
But I'm from Melbourne, there's only one.
It's going to be packed. Weekend packed full of excitement. Now, Karen Bullock, Tommy Orr, and Dylan Tombides and Connor Chapman have been pinpointed as the key stars of Australia's Under-17 and Under-20 World Cups in the new FIFA technical report. So now are we believing what FIFA say? We're happy with these reports?
I don't know.
It's a bit stating the obvious as far as Tombides and probably Tommy Orr go, but Connor Chapman I was interested by. What do you make of him, EJ?
Yeah, I don't know. I would have picked the keeper Izzo over Chapman, but
he was good. Yeah,
and it's good for Chapman because he's a Mariners Youth League player, so I think it's all right.
All right, and this is the end of part one, the news and comments. Now I'd like to move to part two and the Socceroos. I want to just touch on this quickly, but, you know, they were pretty damn good.
They were pretty good.
Yeah, fairly impressive result.
Crowd
could be a bit better, but
I guess. What do you mean the crowd could be a bit better? More vocal?
They had more than 20,000, didn't they?
Really? I'm not sure. I can't remember. From on TV, it looked pretty average, in my opinion.
One thing that really impressed me was the passing. Like, it was good movement from side to side of the pitch.
That first goal was
controlling the ball, waiting for the weak points in Oman's defence and trying to pick them. And we played. It was some great football. And it was. And what was missing were these long balls and these crosses all the way in. Desperation crosses, and it was more pinpoint crosses and crosses that you felt had been worked and were much more selective. I was really, really happy with it.
Yeah, it was good. Look, and we've set ourselves up really well. It's very hard for us not to finish top of the group. You know,
I think we will finish top of the group, but what we want
to
do
more
in
difficult
the next
stage
group, yes.
is yet to come.
Yeah. So Nick Jr., you were saying there's some teams we want to avoid.
We'll be top seed coming out of our group, yes. which is definitely where
so
we
that,
want
to that, be. That should mean that we will avoid Japan, as I'm hoping they will finish top seed of their group as well. And then obviously we want to avoid South Korea. Cause
how is South Korea going? Do we know? Are they?
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure they've also got a 100% record. But either way, you still don't want to come across that team because they demolished us last time we played them. That 2-0 result over there. We were outplayed.
They had such a good young team at the Asian Cup. They're an emerging nation.
But yeah, and apart from that, there's not really any other team I'd be scared of facing because the likes of Saudi Arabia and Iran have faded, in my opinion. China still is very, very, very average. And DPR Korea, I'm not feeling it.
Look, if we play with the control and poise that we did against Oman, I think we can. I'm comfortable with us playing very well against all of those teams and really making a dent in Japan and South Korea if we come up against them. Now, Rhys Williams, didn't he play well?
Oh, yes.
Holman is coming to the fore and has been like consistently Socceroos' best player. I'm looking forward to his combination with Kennedy. I think Kennedy's on form. And Spiranovic, were you surprised to see him in the back?
That was very surprising because, as Nick said, I believe the other week, if Nogonovsky is going to come all the way from Korea, he's going to play. But started against Malaysia, didn't start against Oman, which
is a good
step in the right direction for youth, I believe, because I don't see Ogonowski being in there in 2014. But however, very impressed by Michael Zullo in both games.
By Michael Zullo?
Yes. Okay. At left back, he definitely looks like a very capable player.
He still has his moments of concentration loss, I think, but he's a talent.
Yes, he's only 23, I believe, still, so he should be pretty good by the time we come to Brazil. Hopefully, that is.
And sort of us doing it without some of the traditional big names.
Yes, most definitely.
That's pretty good.
Well, this is the players I was bringing up are not the major big names, the EPL players, and they're yet to really come in, and we've yet to see the best of the soccer.
Managed fine without Schwarzer.
Hey, yeah. Didn't we? We really did. So, yeah, I was very, very happy with that. I'm looking forward to the rest of the qualifying campaign of the Socceroos, and I will ride every single kick with them. Now, you're on the Near Post, and we're talking Australian football across the Community Radio Network, and we are talking specifically the A-League. The A-League weekend, fantastic.
God bless the A-League.
So I want to start in chronological order and start talking about the Friday night game. The Friday night game is a great game to watch. In the last 2 weeks, it's been fantastic. And I think, you know, if we can just move away from the football, in terms of the marketing, it's placed really well.
Heaving stadium in Adelaide, good game.
Yep.
Controversial send-off.
It had it all. It really, really did. Now, you're talking about the game Melbourne Victory against Adelaide. The set of games of the weekend raises one key question for me. Who's going to be sacked first? Which coach is going to be sacked first? There's two Melbourne coaches in the running, plus Levitka from Sydney. It's going to be tight.
It's going to be tight. Look, we're still waiting to hear the new permanent coach of the Jets as well. So I believe
Van Egmond has been pushed into the front running position now, but
he's been mentioned in the media a bit.
Yeah, there's not confirmed yet. I think Melbourne Hunt might be under a bit of pressure.
Oh, yes. I think Van Chip is the highest paid coach in the league. Mm. So if he's not getting results, and they're still rooted to the bottom of the table at the moment, if the Derby performance isn't impressive, I mean, they could lose, but if they don't show some sort of attacking endeavour and spirit...
I think they're okay.
Oh, yeah, the defence is very...
So you're talking about the Derby, the Melbourne victory versus Melbourne Heart game, which is on this
Saturday?
Weekend.
Yep. Yep. So
without Fred as well, it's tough.
I suppose their attack is pretty well stocked, but their defence... I believe they finished the game with the central defence appearing... They had an average age of 22, I think. Curtis Good and Brendan Hamill.
Right.
So... That could be a problem coming up against the more experienced strikers in Thompson, Solzano, and Allsop.
Well, Melbourne Victory have now played 4 matches without a win, and they've gone 2 matches without scoring a goal. And this is with Harry Kewell. I'm telling you, Mehmet Drakovic is not long for this.
He'd be feeling the pressure. Yeah,
he's not big enough name.
They're having trouble getting the combination to work. Like Rojas,
I think
been
there's
a bit
just too many names to be put out there. Like Hernandez, Kiel, Rojas, Allsop, Thompson, Solzano. That's 6 attacking players who really only should be put into 4 positions at the most.
I'm wondering if Kiel and Hernandez, how well those two play together. Yeah, they both kind of like to be in the centre of a park. And Thompson out wide. Mm, he was good against Sydney, but yeah, just something's not right.
I think the bigger issue is the hype. The expectation that Harry Kewell is going to come along and win games for them single-handedly, and it's not happening, and Melbourne are struggling, and the public is going to react. The A-League needs the victory to be winning.
Harry's not playing badly, though.
No.
You think so? You think he's playing okay?
Well, he could have had 2 goals versus Sydney, so I think he's going okay, but he'll get his match fitness will get better. I'm expecting... things to improve, but yeah, the pressure will only increase. They're in the spotlight.
Well, both Melbourne teams are racing towards bad records, so it's just a question of which team is going to race there first.
Well, Sydney are a dark horse in this race as well. I think for a team that's title holders not very long ago, they've fallen a long way.
So Sydney on the weekend played Brisbane Roar. They lost 2-0. Oh,
it was comprehensive. It was, but Brisbane Roar are very much unstoppable at the moment. It must just be the system of play. Full credit to Ange Postecoglou there, but
hats off to Rossellona.
It's very conceivable that they're going to hit 40 games unbeaten with no problem.
So the question has to be asked: is Postecoglou a wizard?
Quite possibly. He's got a very focused bunch of players, and they're committed to the system, as evidenced in that grand final. My heart just sank a little bit there, but it will be interesting to see, as I think Aaron was saying last week, whether the Matt McKay factor is going to rear its head when they're down and they need some inspiration. But at the moment, it's looking really good.
Yeah, Thomas Brush was good again on the weekend.
He was pretty awesome. And a new player, Besart Berisha.
Oh, the Albanian international.
Tell me about him, Junior.
He looked all right against us, actually. I wasn't too convinced by his prior record. His team, I believe it was Arminia Bielefeld in Germany, were pretty much dead last in the second division for Germany. But, yeah, he's looked good with his movement off the ball and stuff. However, he hasn't played a full game yet, so it'll be interesting to see whether he'll eventually be moved out for Coffey Denning, who's looked very sharp off the bench with his pace, I have to say.
Mm. Mitch Nichols is another player that's carrying extra burden. Can he continue to perform?
He's playing well.
I'm not sure. He has been doing very well, but... If he's in the Oli Roos squad, which he has been so far, he's going to miss 8 to 10 games, I believe, from the qualifiers.
Which is a lot. Yep.
So that could possibly derail their momentum.
I can't see Gold Coast beating them this weekend.
Oh no! I mean, they've been admirable in their first 2 games, but I'm not sure they have.
They're the little train that kind of could.
They've looked good. Like they have young, speedy players on the counter attack, which is where we fell into the trap against them on Saturday. And their defence is still very strong. Like, I was very impressed by Ante Rosic and Michael Thwaite in the centre of the park. I mean, Thwaite is a...
Ex-Socceroo.
Ex-Socceroo, yeah. So why wouldn't you be?
Mm-hmm.
But I think Roar will be too strong for them.
Fine.
What I'm interested by, you know, Melbourne Heart, who are a pretty well-run club in a lot of ways, why haven't they gone out and got themselves one of these big foreign central defenders the way other clubs have?
The big foreign central defender. I thought they were pretty solid. Well, actually, no. I'm just looking at the stats now.
I think they sent a lot of their salary cap onto attacking flair. Like the likes
which is kind
of
cool.
The likes of Maicon, Williams, Fred.
They haven't won their last eight matches. This is Melbourne Heart, who lost 2-1 against Glory, as we mentioned. But they did have a fairly big crowd. Their fourth largest ever crowd, around 8,000 players.
That is impressive. People, yes.
It was a fun game, and they were certainly the first. Was it the first goal? The second goal was a penalty from Schmeltz.
I think it was a penalty from Williams, and then two goals from Schmeltz.
Yeah.
That's right.
But what is a problem is that obviously Colosimo's not in the picture, and then Matt Thompson, yes, he has been playing central defence. I'm not really sure that's his best position. And then not having Clint Bolton in between the sticks to organise your defenders.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That is a big problem. I mean, Roganovic has looked... Is it Roganovic? I think it is. Their reserve keeper. He's looked all right, but I think Clint Bolton, with that experience, wealth of experience, to organise a very inexperienced defence... could have helped them a lot more.
Yeah, need a strong back. You look what Kovic has done at the back for the Victory.
Oh, yes.
Because they're a bit shaky down back as well.
And it has solidified it a bit.
Could be a lot of goals in the Melbourne Derby this week.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I want to talk about Wellington Phoenix and the Newcastle Jets. The Newcastle Jets lost 2-0 against the Phoenix. Is that it for the Newcastle Jets?
They looked exceedingly average, I have to say.
It's not a good sign.
They well on their way to cementing themselves at the bottom of the table.
I think they're going to have to go out and get some.
They're
going
to have to do
players.
Some really good home form if it's going to. I mean, obviously going to Wellington is a very tough trip, but with the, I think it was probably the best time in the season for any team to go there. So to not come away with a win.
Wellington have got a long injury list. It wasn't good
already, and they've got such a thin squad. So, but. On the plus side, Nicky Ward's red card was overturned. He is free to play against Perth, but...
I still haven't heard back on my YouTube video that I sent of myself. Yep. Well, it was actually Ronaldo to the
I think they've got a lot of applications from the local Wellington area, so you may have to wait a couple more weeks.
So it does mean, when we look at the table, that Brisbane Roar are fully on top of that table with Perth Glory just behind them. So, you know, the two big guns. Wellington Phoenix have sneakily managed to get themselves up to third space. Adelaide United follow them in fourth. Newcastle Jets.
Yep, still won their first game.
Yeah, there's two games in, but I expect them to drop down. Gold Coast United, again, another team that I expect to be falling down towards the bottom of the table. Central Coast Mariners. Nick Jr., explain to me this. Are they going to be up there in the top two at the end of the season? Do you see it?
I'm not
sure. In your
heart,
do you see it?
It's
Nick,
looking.
You kind of lost faith already.
It's looking average at the moment. However, once Graham Arnold awakens and finally puts Bernie Beattie in the starting lineup, Beattie comes back from injury. We should be all right.
And as I'm sure the A League and the FFA are very upset about, the bottom three teams are Melbourne Victory, Sydney FC, and Melbourne Heart. They'd love to see those.
Does that
tables
say how
across.
Effective the salary cap is?
Yeah. It's fantastic. So just the end of that section, and what I want to do is talk about the fantastic games coming up this week, this weekend. So round three of the A-League has got a lot of local derbies, including, ironically enough, the second longest road trip in football. Mm. So the first Queensland derby is Brisbane Roar versus Gold Coast United. What are we expecting there? Are Roar going to romp at home?
Well, Gold Coast are hard to break down. But no. Brisbane just unstoppable.
Definitely.
At the moment.
So 2-0 probably to Brisbane.
Oh, you're willing to throw out some 2-0s?
Yeah.
Adelaide United versus Sydney FC. Surely Adelaide are just going to roll through
Sydney
United.
I can see Golikovic as the captain of my fantasy team this week.
I can see Golikovic just sitting down in the goal and not being bothered all game.
Sydney are going to start getting desperate. Same with Melbourne Victory, but Sydney are going to start getting desperate. There's this possibility of an upset here.
Well, there's a chance, yeah.
I don't see it happening, but it could happen. Who knows?
Okay, well, the big one, the really big game that that everybody, and by everybody I mean the three people in this room plus the FFA, are looking forward to is Melbourne Victory versus Melbourne Hearts.
That's such a great atmosphere at their derby games. Last year.
Yeah, really you can't beat a city derby.
Nick Senior, what are we looking for in terms of crowds here? What makes a successful crowd size?
They're talking 40,000 for this one based on advanced ticket sales. And I'm putting it out, and I'm actually going to put my money where my mouth is on this one. At least 5 goals in this game.
Really?
Whoa, 5 goals?
I think these are teams that have spent 80% of their salary cap.
Especially with Laya now missing for this game.
Yep.
It's a lots loss of attack, in the central defence.
Not much defence.
Wow, okay. Maybe I might pay attention to this game. I hadn't really picked it that way. Newcastle Jets versus the Central Coast Mariners. The lesser New South Wales team, shall we say?
Is it the F3 derby?
So I'm obviously rooting for my Mariners here. I think they will get over Newcastle, but home support could do something for them. And
should be a good crowd.
Yeah, it should be. Like they got 12,000 against. Who was it? Martin. So yep. I'm thinking 15. Putting out there.
Well, okay. Mm-hmm. And we've got Perth Glory against Wellington Phoenix as the last game of the round. Surely that long road trip is too much for Wellington.
Perth should run right through them. Yep. I think Shane Smeltz will go have a field day.
I'm hoping so, and I'm looking at Schmelz as probably one of the best pickups of the A League.
Well, he certainly was a good pickup for my fantasy team on the weekend, Paddy, so he must have been good for yours as well.
Now, talking fantasy football, just quickly, because luckily for me, the show is coming to an end. Aaron Walker is doing tremendously well. Yep. Nick is a little bit behind him. And Nick and I, it's fair to say, Nick Jr. and I are struggling.
Aaron Walker, fourth overall in Fantasy A-League this weekend.
Kudos to Aaron for that. Now, it's going to end the show and leave you with, if you're going to the near post...
Get there first, unless you're having a baby.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first. Post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first. Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third.